This is my reading, Relance Rosenthal, the author's reading, of Chapter 2, Maps of Fate, second book of Threads West and American Saga series. Chapter title, Threads Converge. By mid-morning, all the wagons were across the river, and the beefy, red-haired wagon master, Mac, had the train fully organized. He put Inga Bjorn and Rebecca Marx's prairie schooner third in line where there was less dust. Johannes Svensson drove the wagon to teach the women how to use the lines and brake on the four-horse team. One of the two extra mounts purchased by Reuben Frank was tied to the back. The other, a powerful palomino of 16 hands, pranced excitedly under Reuben. Reuben twisted in his saddle and gazed back at the Mississippi. Dawn had retreated in a brilliant palette of indigo to the west and fire orange flaring to the east. The Mississippi had a slight chop from the morning wind, the ripples reflecting the burgeoning day in a shimmer of color. The east side of the river had been the scene of frenetic activity around the 41 wagons in the train, which contained several childless couples and a number of families. Two steam tugs dragged barges large enough to accommodate several wagons and teams across the river. The wagons were grouped in single file, pointed west toward the Rockies, more than 1,000 miles distant. Max shouted directions boomed over the murmur of the river and the chatter of the pioneers. The whinnies of the horses, bleats of oxen, and brays of mules echoed up and down the line of prairie schooners, Conestogas, and converted farm wagons. Turning his eyes west, Reuben contemplated the enormous task ahead and recalled the look in his father's wise old eyes when he had selected him from the four brothers to fulfill the family's hopes and aspirations. He felt a momentary pang of doubt, then shook his head and searched for Zeb. A quarter of a mile to the south, he picked out a figure on a brown and white horse leading three mules. "As I would have expected," he mused. He turned his attention back to the front of the train. Mac was near the first wagon astride a stocky red sorrel that matched him well. The wagon master cursed as the excited horse shook his head and pranced sideways. Then he waved for Reuben to ride over. "Reuben, check those last wagons and make sure they're ready. Let's get this damn show moving. We're already late," Mac bellowed. Reuben's horse shifted with agitation. "Easy, Lon," he soothed as he reached down and patted the thick blonde neck of the palomino. The gelding snorted, shook his head, and stomped, his feet dancing in a quarter circle. Reuben wheeled the muscular horse and cantered toward the rear line of wagons. He was not yet used to the deep trough of the western saddle, a far cry from European tack, but he liked the substantial feel of the heavy leather. As he passed the rigs at the center of the train, his eyes widened when he saw the pretty red-headed girl from the steamship Edinburgh sat on the driver's bench of one of the wagons, and that bully from the ship, Jacob, sat next to her. Sarah had a heavy shawl over her shoulders. Reuben thought she looked cold and unhappy in the cool of the spring morning. Jacob was busy with the brake. Reuben caught Sarah's eyes, and she seemed startled. But there was something other than simple surprise in her look. She smiled widely and waved. Reuben pulled down on the brim of his hat in return. The coincidence of Jacob and Sarah on the same wagon, and the apparent fact they were a couple, troubled Reuben. Not her type at all. Very off, he thought. Reining up in a swirl of dust at the last wagon, a Conestoga, Reuben shouted to the driver, "Ready?" "Let's go," replied the thick-set man with a ruddy face. He had just unfurled a several-foot-wide American flag from a knotty, barked pole he had lashed to the side of the wagon at the front rim of the curved canvas top. As it snapped in the wind, Reuben thought the colors looked old, a version of the United States flag he had never seen. 13 stars in a circle on the blue?" he inquired. "What does that mean?" "This here," the driver gestured, beaming, "was a flag my great-grandpappy carried in the Revolution. That's just 80-odd years ago, you know. Family has been in Virginia since the 1600s. It was the first flag of this country, called the Betsy Ross Circular. There ain't many of them around anymore. We usually just fly her on July 4th, but we figure what we're doing is about as big as then. So, except for bad weather, this cloth is going to be full view to God and country, all the way from here to the Rockies. I am to fly it on a big, tall post before I set the first foundation stone for our homestead." Next to him, his buxom wife smiled and nodded. Two round-faced little girls peeked from between their parents. Reuben was not fully sure of the man's meaning, but there would be plenty of time for that. He eased Lon alongside the wagon and fumbled in his shirt pocket. "Do you like jerky?" he asked as he leaned from the horse, holding out the treat to the children. They giggled and hid their faces. "Come on, take it," Reuben coaxed. He took a bite himself and smacked his lips. "Mmm, good." The children laughed shyly, and the older girl stretched out a pudgy hand and took the dried meat. "Fine children," Reuben said, straightening up in the saddle. Their mother smiled. "That's Becky and Eleanor. I am Margaret Johnson. This is my husband, Harris." Becky and Eleanor chewed contentedly on the jerky. "Perhaps you could join us for dinner one night, Mr. Frank. Reuben Frank. And yes, that would be my pleasure. You can tell me more of the flag story." Reuben turned in his saddle, raised himself high in the stirrups, felt the comforting press of the holstered square-back Navy Colt against his right hip as he straightened his leg and waved his hat in the air. Far to the front of the line of wagons, he heard Max roar, "Move 'em out!"